And Heidi is like the best.
Yep.
We're so lucky.
Thank you.
Yeah, we are lucky.
And I'm excited to see you again.
I'm excited to see you. I really am.
I am too, truly.
Yeah, it's super cool.
Hello, and welcome to Stirring the Pot on Voice of Vashon 101.9 in lovely Vashon, Washington.
Hi, Linda.
I am Linda Nygaard, and I'll be your host for the next hour, along with my co-mate, Celine Demire. Hi, Celine.
Hello, my dear.
How are you? It's nice to see you.
Good to see you.
It's been a while. It feels like it's been a while. Anyway, you're listening to KVSH 101.9, and we're so glad that you're here. We have a special guest today for Stirring the Pot, and we're really excited because we have a lot of different things to talk about. And our guest today is Sabrina Ivan. Hi, Sabrina.
Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hello, Sabrina.
I have known Sabrina for a few years, and we came together from cooking, from food. That's how we met. A lot of the things that we talk about have to do with food. And so I'd like for you to get to know a little bit about Sabrina as well. Sabrina was raised in Arizona and Southern California. So her background is multicultural, and she has lots of interesting cooking stories today to share with us. And she has cooked in places like Hawaii and Washington, and her grandma had a restaurant in Arizona called the Morenci.
It was the Copper Kettle.
The Copper Kettle in Morenci.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Little mining town. Morenci's not there anymore.
Her culinary roots go back a long ways. Oh. And I... Hi, Sabrina. I'm so glad you're here. It's really nice to see you.
I'm so excited to be back.
I'm glad you're here. Sabrina was on one of our very first shows way back when, like 5 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
And I think what brought us to that show... We talked about pierogies. And it's a funny story because at the time, I love pierogi. I'd never made it. And at the time, she was making pierogi at the Eagles. And I said, well, can I come and will you teach me how to do it? And she said, well, you can't really teach it. It's kind of like you have to know it. So now I'm thinking about you, Celine.
That sounds like a big fat no.
Well, actually it wasn't. She was very gracious. She said, you're welcome to come and watch and see how it goes. And I said, all right. So Sabrina, you probably don't know the story, but when I first was talking with Celine, she was talking about this Turkish dish called brek. And I so wanted to learn how to make it. So I said, can I just come and help you make it? And she said, well, it doesn't really work that way. So I spent a day in her kitchen while she made it and watched her make it. And it's kind of one of those things where you're in your kitchen, you're in your domain, you know how to do it. And somebody else in there, it's not like a teaching class, you know, it's not like a chef teaching class. So anyway, I went to the Eagles. Well, Sabrina invited me to come and be in the back of the house in the kitchen with her and watch her make pierogies. And she actually allowed me to make a few. And they were ridiculous.
You did very well. You did, especially for your first time.
But they were so good. So, you know, it's just amazing the things, the people that food brings together. We just have such a fascination with food, and it's an easy way to get to know people, and it's well, obviously one of my favorite things.
Yeah. I love pierogies too.
Oh, well,
so good.
It's coming around. Speaking of people.
Yeah, speaking of people, and we also have Miss Heidi Skrypek in
It's just me in the background.
She's here in the lounge with us. Sabrina, I'd like to chat with you a little bit about your background. Help people get to know you a little bit. I know that you've been on Vashon for about 10 years, and I would like to know what brought you here.
Blueberries. When we first landed in Maple Valley, it was no more than a few days when I said, let's go do something. Let's go pick some fruit. And so I pulled up a list of you pick places, and Vashon had some blueberry farm that you could come pick. And when I saw that you had to take a boat to get there, I said, okay, that's it. So I loaded the four littles into the van. And the moment I drove off the ferry at the south end, I was just overwhelmed with the sense of, this is where I need to be.
Oh, isn't that an amazing thing to have happen? Mm. It happened to me the first time I was here too.
Same as
you as well.
As we arrived, we were like, oh my God, this is so serene. This is exactly where we want to be with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great place to raise kids. So, was it a struggle to find a place to live, or how did you decide that you were going to actually live here?
We had to, it took a few years. The process took a few years. You know, we were renting, so we were waiting on the sale of our house in Arizona. And so a lot of things, you know how it goes with buying and selling homes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And then finally something came up that would accommodate us and that we could get into. And so, you know, after 3 years in Maple Valley, and then we were able to move here.
So here you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about food for a second. What's one of your favorite dishes? Do you have like an all-time favorite dish?
No.
No? I like everything.
That's like asking me to pick a favorite child.
Well, that's true.
They're all wonderful and different and unique. And it really depends on the mood that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the one thing that I do keep on hand at home all the time for a go-to quick, I'm too tired to do anything, but I really want some comfort food, it would be those packs of Tasty Bite Indian.
I know. I know. Talk about convenience. Those are really good, though.
They are really, really well done, and I love those. So I always have a good selection of those on hand at home.
Well, you have an interest in international cuisine anyway, and different flavors and different ways to cook things, like we all do. I went to Sabrina's house the other night for dinner, and she made Vietnamese caramelized pork.
Oh,
it was to die for. It was as good or better than I've ever had in a nice Vietnamese restaurant.
Oh,
it was
goodness.
So good. And then I said to her, well, this must have taken a while, and I don't know how you made this. And so she said, just look up a recipe. So I did. And it's really not hard.
So simple. It is one of the easiest, impressive things to make. And anyone can, literally anybody.
So tell us about that. Tell us how you made it.
It's you. Get your ground pork and you brown it. And if there is an excess of liquid, you drain that off. And then you add in some ginger and some garlic, fresh, and fish sauce and brown sugar. And that's it. And then you just brown it until it caramelizes. That sugar starts to, you know, get on the edge of burnt, and you're done. Put it over some rice, some fresh greens, bada boom, bada bing.
There's dinner. And you made some pickled vegetables too.
Oh yeah,
how did you do those?
That was a kind of a quick pickle slaw thing that I came up with based on what was in my refrigerator. I had some cabbage and I think some carrots and some cucumbers, and then some rice vinegar, a little bit of sugar, a little bit of salt, and that was it.
And how long did that have to sit?
I let it sit for a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
Love
it was
quick
delicious.
Pickles.
It was really, really good.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, it was.
I've never tried that Vietnamese.
Oh, it's caramelized. So good. Caramelized pork.
Yeah.
And you could do it with chicken, or you could do it.
Oh, yeah. I have actually made it with other types of ground meat. In fact, one time I made it recently, I thought I had more ground pork in the freezer than I had, and I didn't have time to go out. So I used a package of pre-seasoned fajita ground chicken.
Oh my goodness.
I actually think it tasted even better with that.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So Celine, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? My goodness. Work has been a little busy.
Yeah.
It's been taking a lot of my time, but, I've attended a lovely food club and where I ran into you a couple of weekends ago. So that's where I try new recipes, which I've never made before.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, it's been kind of busy and with the kids. Mm-hmm. We had a wonderful Mother's Day weekend.
Oh, good.
And we visited Vacheron Peony Company.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
nice.
It was so lovely.
Are they in bloom yet?
Oh my God.
Oh, are they?
You should see the peonies
I
got.
Peonies.
Oh, I'm going to go this weekend.
So lovely. So lovely. It was so lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And this week they're going to have a couple of peonies that are going to bloom. It's very special. It's lemon chiffon and Lorelei. Oh my God, I saw the pictures and I'm like, I cannot wait to see them.
so you have to go.
Oh yeah, yeah, I have to go. And then yeah. I also bought a potted peony, so I'm going to see if I'm going to make that survive. And so I was very excited. Oh, and then they have irises now.
Oh, the irises are gorgeous.
I have some iris and there's a black blue purplish iris. So I'm excited. And then we visited with the animals, and my friend has some donkeys. Mm-hmm. So we took Ida there, our exchange student, to say hi to the donkey and give a hug to Benny, the donkey.
And they have alpacas, right?
Yes.
Yes.
No, donkeys are not at Vachon Peony. Okay. Sorry, they're right next to each other. Two different friends. Yeah. 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 And so they have alpacas. Mm-hmm. And so we said hi to the alpaca as well. Yes. We were getting some peonies.
They're so darling.
Oh my gosh, they're so cute. So cute.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about supper clubs. You know, we were talking earlier about how food draws people together.
Yes.
And
yes.
I was privileged to get invited to a supper club that's been going on for a lot of years in a couple of different states. And now it's here on Vachon. And there were probably 30 people there.
Yeah.
I think. Mm, and the theme this time was Mallorca. And so the invitation comes with the theme and then everybody brings something and it's, you know, most of the time it's something you've never cooked before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, the food was outstanding.
It was.
And the conversations just kept going and going and going. I knew Celine was there and I knew Celine and her husband. And I think there was one other person there that I knew from before, but I met new people I haven't even seen on Vachon. And we had conversations about everything from ocean creatures to ecology to, there was a little politics, not much, mostly kind of raised eyebrows and sort of whining, you know. But then there was a lot of talk about history. There was a talk at my table. They were talking about the history of a certain food.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about the history of music. It was just a bunch of people who were really interested in different topics. And it was so interesting. And I guess for listeners, I would like to say that it's really easy to form a dinner club.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I have never been a part of one.
I was going to ask you if you had been.
No, and it kind of blows my mind, actually, given how much I love food and how much cooking I've done throughout my whole life.
Well, this one happens once a month. And I'm thinking, you know, it's so easy to do a once a month. And really, the hosts don't do anything but get out the plates and the silverware.
Oh, no, she cooks.
No, yeah. I mean, she's not. I didn't mean it that way.
of the hosts.
I didn't mean it that way. I just meant she's not responsible for feeding 30 people.
No, no. It's more of a potluck style.
It's a public thing, and you bring the food. And yes, there's cleanup and that kind of stuff. But I didn't mean that, you know, she has 30 people.
She's just sitting there on the sofa eating bonbons, watching everybody else do all the work.
30 people coming in the door,
I mean, that's what I would do.
So in this interesting time that we find ourselves in, that kind of communion is a blessing, I think.
It really is.
I'm so grateful that I got to do that. Heidi, you had some experience with a different kind of sort of food progressive dinner thing that involves different people and different conversations.
And it was the equivalent of a supper club, although we called it salon dinners. And I worked in PR downtown in Seattle for Wilson PR. And we had at the time like McCormick and Schmick's, Anthony's, Canlis. Some Italian joints, some vegan joints. Anyway, what we would try to do is instead of doing your traditional press junket, we would bring, or we would open hotels and they always have restaurants too. Some are chef driven, some are concept driven. It's an easier sell for press if they're chef driven, but concept driven, sometimes we'll get them to show up. Anyway, so you plan it by, instead of doing it all in one place and rotating it that way, it would take forever and you'd never get the press to come back. So we would consolidate four restaurants and then we'd do kind of first course, second course, et cetera, salad course, dessert course, and do it that way. And so we'd have four separate places in near proximity that we could walk to, get people good and liquored up and try the food. And it was a great way to get people together. And we would try to pick people from different press organizations. So it was like, the snarky, you know, stranger writers and weekly writers back in the day with magazine writers and like cookbook authors. Yeah. We had Cynthia Nims, Kathy Casey, Greg Atkinson, who's got a joint on Bainbridge Island now. So it was really fun, really fun.
Yeah.
But it's just it's a great way to get people talking, and even funner if you can bring people, you know, like really pick wild and diverse guests and throw them in
and
a room
put them in a room together.
Yeah,
I know. See what it's really interesting. Yeah.
That's cool. And I love how you met 28 other people ish, 27 that you didn't know.
That I didn't know. And I'll probably see again, you know.
I hope so.
I hope so too. Yeah, I love that.
Did you ask icebreaker questions of them?
No, it was just the conversation seemed to start about the food. Like, oh my God, did you make that? And oh, who made this? That's so good. Oh, you know, one time I had a dish in such and such that tasted like such and such. And then, and so then it's sort of like, well, and so what is your name and who are you and what are you doing here? And
who the hell are you?
What you doing here?
And, it's so beautiful when things
conversation.
Like that.
Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that's okay.
It's just so beautiful when things organically flow that
it
way.
Is.
And I feel like food is the number one way, and maybe music is second. But honestly, in my opinion, it's far easier to start up a conversation with a random stranger when you're all there eating all these different types of
things. I would agree with that. Completely agree with that. You know, talking about the progressive dinner, there was a thing in the 80s where progressive dinners were the thing.
Like, you know, neighborhood like friends.
Neighborhood friends.
That's
and we'll have appetizers at Sally's house, and then we'll go for the salad at so and so's house, and then we're going to go to so and so's house for the main, and then we go to somebody else's house for dessert.
That's really cool.
And
I never heard of that.
Oh, you didn't?
No. Yeah. Well, you know, I wasn't here in the 80s.
Well, that's right. You're not that old anyway. but it was really fun.
Oh, no, I am old. Older than
stop.
I wasn't born in the 80s.
She's saying, oops.
But I wasn't here.
You could have said nothing and gotten away with it.
All right. All right.
Yeah, so I participated in a couple of those, and that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But you already know those people.
Right.
You know, so that's a kind of a different... thing.
Yeah, it is.
It's okay. I'm old. It's fine.
That's a good point.
I was telling my son the other day that I really like being this age. I like this age better than any age I've ever had. But that's a whole other topic. So we'll talk about that another day.
But you
day.
Told me that when we met at the dinner too. So and I can tell that you when you say it, there's that smile on your face.
Well, it's a surprise,
which is a wonderful thing. No, that means that you're really enjoying your age now.
I am.
And that's a good thing.
It
I
is.
Love my
Thank
age
you.
Nowadays too.
Yeah.
Well, good. I would never want to be in my 20s or 30s ever again.
No. There's a lot of learning to do at that point.
Yeah.
Well, that's no lie.
So another, I guess I'm on this kick about community kitchen. I mean, having community food, community kitchen. Tell me how you feel about collaborative cooking. Like if you have three or four people and you're going to be in your house.
Nope.
Everybody's saying no.
Nope. In fact, I feel like such a bad mother.
You do?
Because I would let my children cook, but I didn't ever want to eat the food if I saw them preparing it because, well, you know... anyway, if my kids wanted to cook with me, they had to follow a strict set of rules, which were mostly centered around hygiene. Like, I didn't care how the thing tasted.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I wanted them to have experience. But for me, cooking is so meditative. And that was my one time a day where I had a legit excuse for keep the kids out of the kitchen, please. So I can get dinner on the table in a timely manner. And even if it wasn't anything particularly exciting that I was making, that was still my time to myself. You have to be someone very special for me to say, yeah, let's cook together. That's a rarity with me. I could count on one hand how many people in my life I have enjoyed cooking with.
I know Celine has the same feeling about cooking?
A little bit slight.
Yeah.
So for me, it's because I know how something needs to taste like. So I feel like I need to make it taste like that because that's how I like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also let my kids get into kitchen, and both of my kids can cook really well at a very early age. And they just kind of make up things. And then I told them, this is how I learned. My grandma taught me just a little bit of that, a little bit of that. You taste it. If it's good, if it's not good, you added. I told you that this is not how Ulich cooks. Mm-hmm. It's completely different. He goes by the recipe to the, you know, to the point. And but I'm like a little bit on that. Okay, let's just do it. But if I have company coming over and if I have a menu that I'm going to do, I ask people, please sit.
Yeah.
I got this.
Oh, I know. I think that's the difference, though, you know, between entertaining and cooking Tuesday night dinner. I grew up in a household full of people, and my mother was a marvelous cook, mother of six kids, lived on a ranch. We had hired men. Mm-hmm. We had neighbors dropping in. I mean, it was busy. Mm-hmm. The kitchen was busy. Yeah. So I have a little bit of a different feeling about that. Now, the same thing, if I'm entertaining, I don't want anybody in my kitchen. I'm doing it my way and nobody's going to say anything about anything. And I find that whole process very meditative. But if I'm having a, if I'm in with a family gathering of some kind, you know, it's really fun for me to have, okay, you chop this and you chop that, and then we're going to add that, and we're going to sort of more instructive, I think, collaborative cooking. But you know what? It's time to thank our sponsors, and we will do that.
Thank you, sponsors.
We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Support for Voice of Vashon is provided by Palouse Winery. Award-winning wines are available for tasting on their covered patio noon to 5, Friday through Sunday. For private event inquiries, to see the music schedule, or to make a reservation, visit PalouseWinery.com.
A portion of Voice of Vashon programming is brought to you by PSCCU, proud to be Washington's Green Credit Union, practicing socially responsible banking by supporting sustainability, job creation, local economies, communities statewide, and our environment. Learn more at PSCCU.org.
And we're back.
Hello, you are listening to Stirring the Pot on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on beautiful Vashon Island downtown.
Yes.
And here we are. We're talking about collaborative cooking and the comfort that food gives all of us. And we find that we have lots of different ways of experiencing different kinds of foods. Yeah. And most recently we were talking about a dinner club that we went to.
I
want to kind of circle back to that because some of the food was just unbelievable. And most of the people who brought these dishes had never cooked this dish before. Mm. You know, they looked it up and said, well, that sounds good.
Very true. And you brought something that I just enjoyed it so much. It was so delicious. It was a Basque cheesecake, was
I called it a Basque cheesecake because I couldn't say the word that it really was, but it was a recipe under Mallorca, a Mallorcan food, and it had a different name, but it's much the same as a Basque cheesecake. Oh. But speaking of a meditative process when you're cooking, that was it. That, I think, is, I have to say, the best thing I've ever made. I couldn't believe how fun it was to make, how beautifully it turned out. And as it turns out, I know I'm patting myself on the back, but I have to say, to a person, people were over the moon about that.
That's gosh, it was.
And it was beautiful to boot.
You got a witness in this room.
Yes. But what I have to say about that is it was not complicated. It's not, I didn't accomplish a huge feat. I followed a recipe. And it was really a fun recipe and creaming. It had 2 pounds of cream cheese in it.
Oh my gosh.
And a cup of butter and 6 eggs.
But how far did that go? How many humans
I think everybody got a taste. I sliced it very thin when we got there. Mm-hmm. And you really only
needed, I think only one slice left, which Linda was very happy because she said, oh, there's one slice breakfast. Left. I can risk for my breakfast.
Well, actually, there was one big slice left. And there was a guy standing at the counter. I don't remember who it was, with a woman standing across the counter. And they were both looking at that piece. And I said, you should just eat that. And they said, oh, no, it's the last piece. And I said, here, I'll tell you what. So I cut the big piece in a little piece. And I said, you guys just eat that. And they took their forks and just dove in. And I said, okay, I'll just take this little piece and take it home. So
that's awesome. Awesome.
I would encourage anybody to look up Basque, B-A-S-Q-U-E, cheesecake, and make it. It looks complicated. It looks heavenly, and it's so easy. You don't. It's not like an American cheesecake. It doesn't have a graham cracker crust. You make it in a spring porn spring form pan.
Porn is good.
Spring porn pan.
Porn can get behind that.
Cheesecake porn. I told you that cheesecake needed Barry White music.
I need some elocution lessons.
Oh my.
So anyway, that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Awesome. It was, and it looked delicious and it tasted delicious, and I'm an eyewitness, and my mouth was just so happy. Yeah. I wish I had another piece with my coffee in the morning with my Turkish coffee.
Mm. Yep.
Oh, that would have been perfect.
Well, I had that in my mind when I took it home, and it didn't make it to breakfast. It was more like a
midnight snack.
Yeah.
This is turning into a confessional.
I know. Between spring porn and midnight snacks, what are you up to?
Off to a great
what
start.
What are you up to?
Nice. We have fun on our show.
Yeah, we do sometimes.
Always.
So what else do you want to talk about? You know, we're having a kind of a food crisis, thinking about, well, not on Vashon, we're not, you know, but there's a lot of struggle going on right now in the world with regard to money and budgets and children and food on the table. Yeah. And so I'm wondering, as you know, we're all moms here, and we've all cooked for our kids. We've all cooked for the neighbors. And I'm wondering if we could talk for a minute about, how do you budget for food? And what do you always have in your pantry that you know you can throw together something that isn't, you don't have to go to the grocery store and spend $60 for a meal? Does anything jump to mind, Celine, for you?
For me, it's pasta.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, because you can do pasta in so many different ways. You can add cheese, you can add vegetables, and I cook pasta with broth. So instead of water, to add like a little bit more vitamins in there if I have some at home. Sometimes you throw, like, if you have frozen veggies in there, you throw that in there. My comfort food when it comes to pasta is, like, I boil the pasta and then I make a garlic yogurt sauce. That's it. And you put on top of it and that's all we eat.
Really?
I'm going to try that.
I grew up on this. Like, that was our comfort food. And
so wait a minute. Yeah. So you take the yogurt and
plain yogurt and then you put,
crush garlic.
Salt. You mix it, that's your sauce.
That's it.
Yeah.
It is so delicious.
Have you had that, Heidi?
No. I've had it, but not with you. That's so good.
You better invite us over for comfort food.
That's beautiful.
That sounds really good.
We'll have to do some some gathering
comfort
again.
Food dinner.
Yeah. So that's something very simple, but my kids don't care for it that way, but I mean, we've done it that way. But pasta, you can also cook, you can make a soup with it. You can make, you can add it to your, like, a little bit juicy stews. I mean, it's
you can make a dessert with it.
What?
Oh, yeah. Noodle kugel. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Kugel.
Oh, I didn't know that. See? I learned something new.
So one of my oldest daughter is converting to conservative Judaism. And she just had noodle kugel for the first time at a recent event. And she's just like, that's all she could talk about on Mother's Day.
It's so good. There are several different kinds of noodle kugel too. Some people put raisins in it. Some people don't. Yeah. There's a sweet one. There's a savory one.
I made mine with pineapple. The one that she had raisins and apples in it. But I put pineapple and raisins in mine and just some cottage and cheese and eggs.
What kind of cheese? Cottage cheese?
Cottage cheese. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cottage yeah. cheese, eggs, and usually
it's
egg
so
noodles.
Good.
Yeah.
Pasta.
But, so delicious.
It's so good. And it can be dessert or dinner, really.
Yeah.
It's really good with coffee in the morning.
Yeah. Yes.
And what about you, Sabrina?
I always have tuna on hand. Mm-hmm. I love tuna salad, and I'll make it all kinds of different ways. Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of stems from when I lived in London. I didn't have a refrigerator for a very long time. So I found that, I could keep my fresh vegetables on the counter for a couple of days from the farmer's market. And so I developed all kinds of unique ways to make tuna into a delicious dish. But goes far beyond your usual mayonnaise and pickle relish kind of thing. Yeah, so I always have tuna on hand.
Are you particular about the brand or the kind, or do you like the olive oil kind or the in water, or
in the spring water, and obviously I'm if I can afford it, I'll get the more expensive tuna on the shelf, but I'm not above just a can of Starkist.
I know yeah, there's something to be said for that too. I have a friend who is a tuna addict, I would say.
Oh my.
She's got always 6 or 8 cans of tuna in her pantry, and that's what she does. She'll have a tuna salad sandwich, or she'll have tuna and noodles, or she makes a tuna salad that's tomatoes and sort of based like a, what's that French salad?
Nichois?
Yeah, nichois. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, so, yum.
Yeah.
Yum, yum, yum. Yeah.
Heidi, what's your go-to?
First of all, I just need to say my stomach is talking more than I am right now. I should not come here on an empty stomach. I need to learn this
same
stuff. I'm famous for doing a 3-pound pork carnitas, like a shoulder. And then so we'll have carnitas, and then that becomes like the next day is, one night it's tacos, and then the next day it's like a super loaded baked potato with carnitas meat and all the veg and stuff. And then it's nachos another night, I love going off of one big protein and then parceling it for the next couple of days.
So that's really a good budget item as well.
Yeah. Totally.
You do spend a lot up front, but you get 3 or 4 meals out of it.
It's so pennies though for when you start to really parse it out. Mm-hmm. And same with chicken. I'll roast an herb chicken and do the same type of thing. Mm-hmm. It's the best.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Like just doing one and then kind of
in the Instant Pot.
The Instant Pot.
Wait, nudge, nudge.
Do any of you do any batch cooking? Do you make big batches of soup or something that then you freeze?
Yep.
Chili.
I don't.
Yes.
Freeze and share.
Stock, tons of bags of stock. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, Heidi gifted me some of her homemade stock last week, and I made some soup with it, and it was delicious.
Yes.
I didn't tell you yet. Thank you.
I trust.
It's so good. It's just, there's nothing like homemade stock.
A lot of the things that I make are complex or at least laborious, and so I don't want to have to go through that process every time I want to have some. And plus, I've got a lot of people that I share with, and I regularly cook for my neighbor next door. So the last thing that I made was this enormous crock pot of pozole, because I got a nice pork roast on sale. I'm like, what am I going to do with this? I want
pozole.
Some pozole, because I also had some hominy, some shishi hominy that someone had gifted me. It was dry hominy. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, pozole.
Well, that brings up another subject that we were going to talk about, or that you and I have talked about. And Sabrina, being from the Southwest, has a plethora of ideas and skills around a Southwest kitchen. And one of the things I'm curious about, and I know that you love, is hello,
mole.
Thank you.
You summoned it.
Mole.
Just staring lasers
in
the front.
I just kept thinking, Oaxaca. No, it's not Oaxaca. It's mole.
You were halfway there.
Yeah, I was halfway there. So, do you make mole?
I make mole occasionally. Mm-hmm. It's very time consuming, but it's worth it. And I do use my food processor.
Is that a sin in some kitchens?
Well, I mean, one of the big things with mole is that it's a traditional dish usually made specifically for a celebration of some kind, everything from weddings to funerals.
And Day of the Dead.
And it typically involves, you know, immediate family. They're going to help out because there's a lot of ingredients that go into making mole, usually like at least 20 different ingredients.
Wow.
And a lot of
those. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like kitchen sink.
It really sauce. Is. Yeah.
But a lot of those ingredients need to be ground down, not pulverized to powder, but still, you want a fairly smooth sauce. And so I think about the amount of time that it takes to use the metate to grind up all of the spices that you're going to use. And I always think of curries when I do make mole. It's so similar to curries, and it's kind of like, oh, I can kind of understand why I like Indian food so much, because the similarities are really just like, oh wow, you know.
Can we talk, do you have different kinds of mole that that you like or don't like? Are you familiar with mole?
I heard about it, and I've eaten in Mexican restaurants, but I've never made it myself, and it's something that I never like picked up from a grocery store to try, because I'm so scared that I'm gonna mess it up, or like maybe not, I shouldn't do that. But I like in a restaurant I've tried, and I thought it was very different and delicious. But I don't have the experience for it.
Yeah, I don't either. I've never made it.
Yeah.
But I've been around people making it. I think one of the best experiences I ever had was I was in Oaxaca on Day of the Dead, and I was staying with a Mexican family, and they didn't speak English, and I didn't speak much Spanish. And I was there to write an article about it, about this whole process. So I was in the kitchen, and, you know, they believe you have to have three things on Day of the Dead. You have to have mole. You have to have tequila, and you have to have chocolate. And so all of these things
sounds good to me.
And the mole, being in Oaxaca, educated me about how many different kinds of mole there are. And I wonder, whoever thought of chocolate? Well, then you go back to the Aztecs, you know, and they're the bringers of the chocolate. And they started this. So do you know anything about the history of mole?
The dish itself, it's really, that's all it means. It's a Nahuatl word. Moli, I think, is the Nahuatl for mole. And it literally means sauce. So just like with Indian food, curry is just sauce.
A sauce.
So that's what it is. And also similar to curry, households have their own little variation on how they make it. So it's quite unique. What you normally get in North American restaurants is probably going to be like a mole negro my brain is stuck on poblano, but it's nope. That's not it. Anyway, it's typically the one that has the dark roasted chilies and the chocolate, and it's got that sweet, spicy profile to it. But the mole in Oaxaca, they have seven kinds of mole, but there are way more than seven kinds of mole.
Okay.
So, like, there's mole Colorado, which is a really nice, bright, vibrant, almost citrusy kind of mole. And there's mole verde, which is made with lots of fresh herbs and tomatillos. And you can go on. Like,
that's the one that I loved.
Oh, did you?
Oaxaca was the green one.
The mole verde.
It was just so full of flavor. It just bursts in your mouth. Fresh, beautiful flavors.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not wild about mole negro.
Really?
See, but maybe I've never had it really good. I don't know.
Is that the one that has chocolate in it?
Yes. Yeah. Several of them do have chocolate, but I think that one probably has people giving the most license to how much chocolate they're putting in.
Well, let's talk about it for a second. Let's talk about, we don't have to talk specific amounts or anything, but what kinds of spices and things go into, like, let's say a mole negro? What goes in there?
Oh my gosh.
Cinnamon, I know.
Yes, cinnamon goes into that. All right, cinnamon, you could put allspice in there. What you got to keep in mind is that a lot of the spices that were added came after the Spanish came and colonized the area. So before it was just a lot of fresh herbs and dried herbs and chile and tomatoes and, of course, the chocolate. As well.
I found the chili. It was ancho.
Ancho chili. Ancho. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of different ones that go into all the different kinds of mole, though.
And is the process, I'm really curious because I've sort of forgotten. I was so overwhelmed when I was down there watching all of this stuff go on that I've lost a lot of the memory of it, is the process of making mole a long kind of all day affair for you as a North American woman to make it.
Yeah, even with the modern conveniences. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's still, it can take a little bit of time, but because more than individual spices, so like the spices themselves that go into it really aren't that numerous. It's just all the different things that you put into it. So there's a lot of seeds, nuts, and of course the different types of chile and onion and tomato and plantain. And some people, oddly enough, use animal cookies fried in oil to thicken it. Yeah, that seems to be a pretty popular thing. I'm like, okay. We always used a little bit of masa, some cornmeal to thicken it up. But so roasting the chilies, you got to de-seed them. You don't want the seeds because it'll make it bitter and really, really hot. So you've got to roast most of the ingredients and get a nice char on them. And then you've got to grind those chile, you know, into a nice paste and along with the chocolate and along with the seasonings, the spices that you do use, like cinnamon.
Yum.
Oh, now I'm hungry.
No, I want some
mole. It's time for another sponsor. We want to thank our sponsors because we couldn't do this without you. And we love being here and we love you for helping us make this show possible.
You can get ingredients for your mole right here.
Yeah.
Can't do what we do without our underwriters, like Vashon Market IGA and Vashon Plaza, one block west of the main highway, where you can find everything your family needs, from fresh produce to kids' specials, legendary meats, wine, spirits, and movies. Open daily from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
VOV programming support is provided by Pandora's Box, Vashon Island's provider of quality pet foods at competitive prices. With over 100 years of combined knowledge and experience in pet care and pet nutrition, you'll find Pandora's Box on Vashon Highway, north of the main intersection.
Food for you and food for the pets. All done. Thank you to our underwriters.
Hello, everyone. We're just sitting here still chatting about mole. And I think, Sabrina, do you have anything else that you'd like to talk about with regard to mole? Like maybe how is it served? Is it? Do you put beef in it? Do you put pork in it? Do you put chicken in it? How do you serve it?
You can really serve it with everything. Anything that you want. Like you could even put it on tofu, really. I think it would greatly elevate the tofu.
Yeah. well, it wouldn't take much.
Traditionally, it would have been served with turkey. And then
That's
the Spaniards introduced chickens, and so that became the go-to. And it depends on the type of mole. So like the mole verde would be more likely to be served with pork. Honestly, I can't think of a time that I've come across mole that was made with beef.
It doesn't ring true to me either.
I mean, like maybe mole colorado. I keep tripping over that one. Colorado.
Yeah.
Or coloradito.
Yeah. Just a little bit red?
Yes. It's a little muddier red. But I could see those being served with beef.
So do you cook the meat with the mole, or is it it's just the
you
serving
cook the meat like, separately?
Okay, so it's just the kind of a sauce to add on later on.
So
is that how it is?
You boil, like when I make it, I use chicken and I will just get a huge pot and put a whole chicken in there and boil it with some bay leaf and some garlic cloves and some onion and peppercorns. And then when the chicken is cooked all the way through, I'll take the chicken out and set it aside. I'll use the broth to make the sauce and then I'll shred the chicken or I might parse it out and serve it as whole pieces. But you'll add the sauce in later. And you can put the meat in and simmer it with the sauce for a bit, which is not a bad idea because then it imparts more of a flavor. But typically, no, you're not cooking it all together.
Okay. I was just curious.
How old are your children and do they cook? Have any pursued careers in cooking?
So my oldest is 22 and she does cook quite a bit, but she's mostly, you know, learning how to do a whole different range of cooking now because she's keeping a kosher kitchen.
All right on.
Yeah. And then my second oldest is 16 and she never really was terribly interested in cooking. So no, not so much. And my third, she's 15, and she was the only one that I would ever really consistently let me help me in the kitchen. But she was just as fastidious as I was. And I knew that I didn't have to worry. Mm-hmm. Now my youngest is almost 13, and he is actually starting to cook things for himself. And I love that. And he will send me pictures of what he's made, or he'll tell me about his most recent thing that he's tried making. And it's basic stuff, but who cares? He's in the kitchen and he's trying.
And he's doing it.
And he's doing it. Yeah.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah. It's a win in a day when home ec is pretty much non-existent in a school system. Mm-hmm. That you can teach your children how to do that is a big deal.
Yeah. I think it's a really big deal.
Yeah.
I have one son who loves to cook and one son not so much. Mm. And he does. They both are really good on the grill and the barbecue and smoking meats and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And one of them is, and it's interesting because they didn't really have any interest when they were growing up. It was like, whatever. Mm. And so when they got to be adults, it was when it started to kick in. And now I get the phone calls, which I love. You know, I get the call that says, Mom, when you made that, whatever it was, how did you, and did you put the, and what do I do? You know, and so that's awesome. A really satisfying thing. And I think, again, we're going back to time in the kitchen with family or friends or both. And I just think it's a really important thing. And I did learn, talking about mole and Oaxaca, I did learn so much about the Mexican household and the honor that they put for the women who are in the kitchen. And I think I say women because it is mostly women down there. It really is. And here we're blending more toward men in the kitchen as well, which is wonderful, I think. I love men good cooks, and I know a lot of them.
Right.
Tom, are you listening?
the irony being most of our famous chefs are men.
Right. And, Heidi's husband is a chef.
Oh.
He was a famous chef.
Oh,
and he's a marvelous, marvelous cook. Mm. And he's also a contractor. So, you know, he's a well-rounded man, and he's always welcome in anybody's kitchen.
And a beekeeper. So we got the
honey.
And
a beekeeper.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, my.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We're going to talk later.
And they have, they have honey and eggs and a big garden, and it's a nice little farmette you have there, Heidi.
I love that farmette.
That's brilliant. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Let's go back to talking about what we do in the kitchen and talk about how things are changing. You know, you kind of raised your eyebrows when you, Sabrina, when you said, oh, I do use a food processor. Like, that's kind of like a guilt-ridden thing, you know, because in the olden days, nobody would have. Mm-hmm. You chopped and you chopped and you used the mocajete and it was really hard work.
Mm-hmm.
I have a short little story I'll tell you about that. When I was young, I was in my middle 20s. I lived in the mountains in Colorado and in a little cabin, and there was a wood cook stove in there. I did have a gas stove. I had a real stove, but I decided I wanted to cook this Thanksgiving dinner in the wood cook stove and do the whole thing. I wanted to do the potatoes on top and the turkey in the oven and do the pies the day before, and just because I had learned how to regulate the heat and I had learned how to cook in it, and I had a little thermostat that went inside so I could kind of tell how hot the oven was. My grandma told me that was cheating because you should put your hand in there and you could tell if it was 300 or 400, you know, but I never graduated to that. Anyway, I did it and I was so proud of myself. It was like, I was just over the moon that I made this whole beautiful dinner and it all worked and everything was fabulous. I was telling my grandma about it and I said, I made the whole dinner. I made the whole Thanksgiving dinner in the wood cook stove. And she went, oh, and I said, what? And she said, well, the only reason you like doing it is because you didn't have to.
She's got a point. You
know, and she really did have a point because they had to. And it was that kind of laborious cooking every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we have modern conveniences that help us in the kitchen a lot. And anybody who's listened to this show knows that I'm a big fan of my air fryer. And I just use it all the time. It's perfect for one person. Yes. So do you all have any... Any new gadgets or things that help your cooking speed up a little bit?
Yeah, so when our son Arda moved out and he has a tiny little studio and then he didn't have like a full-on kitchen. Mm-hmm. So when he loves to cook and he likes to do budget meals and like prepare his food and take it to work. So somebody on the island was selling 11-in-1 Instapot. So it had air fryer, the soup maker, and everything in it.
Oh,
everything you can think of, you can make.
Like it can roast and air fry.
It can roast, air fryer. Yeah, you can bake. You can make simmering and soup and yogurt and porridge and anything you want. It says 11-in-1. So I sent it. I sent the picture to him. He goes like, "Do you want this?" He goes like, "Sure, I'll try." And now he tells me how much he loves it.
Really?
Because he cooks in it. He sends me pictures and like, "Look what I'm making today." And like, you know, he makes his rice in there and then he puts the rice away and then he cooks the other stuff. And then he prepares his food for the week and puts it in, you know, little containers. And he loves it. For someone who's, you know, who has a tiny little kitchen or not kitchenette, it's perfect. It's perfect. And so when we were talking later, like my daughter says, "Well, when I go to college, and that's all I want for my dorm room, like a little Instapot so that I can cook a couple of things that I, you know, I want to cook."
Yeah.
So yeah,
I would have killed for one of those when I was younger. Just, oh my gosh. Yeah, now I have one and I never use it. I don't see, and it's one of those really nice ones where it does all the things, and I just it sits there and it gathers dust on my shelf, and I figure one of my kids will want it eventually.
I have a pretty small kitchen, and so counter space is at that's premium real estate, you know, and so I had one Instapot, and I used it a few times, and it just sat there gathering dust. And then I thought, I really want an air fryer. Where am I going to put it? What am I going to do? So I got rid of the Instapot, and I used the air fryer instead. And it takes up too much space, too, but I use it a lot. So
nice.
So
we need to find you one of that 11-in-1 that has everything in it.
No? I don't want it. Now I just want my little...
You love your air fryer.
I'm good.
Oh, good.
That and the food processor, which...
I do love my food processor and my stand mixer.
Same.
Yeah.
Mixer. Oh,
I would never part with those. No. So you can take every other gadget. And I think the only other thing that I really love having, and I only just bought one. I had one years ago, but I gave it away because I seldom used it. And now I want to use it.
Is
it? Mandolin.
Oh, yes. You don't have one?
Well, I do now. I just literally just bought one like a month ago.
I love that thing.
I used it to make your the salad that came with that I served.
I love my mandolin.
Yeah. You'll like the one that I have, actually. Your fingers never get anywhere near any blade.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would like it.
I'm actually not thrilled with it, so I may actually give it to you.
No, I don't want it.
Oh, no. We'll talk
later. Are you
scared
of them, Heidi?
David uses them. He'll give me the guard if I have a mandolin assignment, but I would rather use my Cuisinart food processor with the different dials on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, well, yeah, yeah.
It's me. I'm a klutz.
Well, I've seen some pretty terrible accidents.
I got the one I got.
Yeah.
But I don't like it.
I'm right there with you, Heidi. And after I saw how Ulrich like cut the tip of his, I'm like, I am not touching that thing.
Oh, it hurts. The lacerations.
Yes.
I've lost a few knuckle tops.
Yeah.
Using my old one.
But I do that with sharp knives too.
Do you?
Oh, I can't. I had a friend over for dinner one time and I had Band-Aids all over my hand. And she said, "What happened to you?" And I said, "Oh, I got my knife sharpened." You know, you just if you like a sharp knife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want it to be sharp so it bites into the food and doesn't slide off to the side. However, then if you accidentally just touch yourself.
I know. And that's what I did. I just touched myself because they had been pretty dull and I just wasn't used to them. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing more dangerous than a dull knife.
That's true.
There really isn't. Yep.
So true.
So,
is the guy still at the farmer's market doing the sharp? There's a new guy.
There's a new guy that has an ad in the newspaper in the Beachcomber.
Yeah.
That he sharpens knives, and I hear he's really, really good.
Is it George, or does he go by Joe? Because Joe goes to the club, and he'll sharpen our knives for us. And he was the guy that used to do the knife sharpening
at
the farmer's market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you sharpen your own knives?
Oh, Luch has a gadget for
Does
it.
Does he?
Oh, gosh, yes. He's got a couple of different gadgets that he sharpens our knives. And he forgets to tell me, and then that's when I end up with, like,
oh, no.
Darn it. Why didn't you tell me to sharpen the knives? Oh, yeah, honey, I did sharpen the knives.
She's and holding a knife in the threatening, I'm going to stab you with the sharp knife way.
But don't you just love that moment when you use the sharpened knife for the first time, and it just slices you, just slides through, like, through the
butter.
I know. It's such a good feeling.
It is.
And other than, you know, trying to saw your tomato in half.
Flatten it in the process. Yeah.
Have any of you had any experience with automatic, like, robots serving food? Or I was watching a thing on television, and they have a robot thing in Japan going on where the servers are robots.
There's a restaurant in Bellevue. It's a dumpling place.
That
I can't remember
that?
The name of it. And then, so there's this little robot thing after the initial order comes through. And then for your seconds of the dumplings, or if you order more, you put it in the little tablet thing on your table, and then there's this little robot thing comes and then serves you. It's quite cute. It's like funny, and
does,
like,
it look like a little person, or is it a tray,
no,
or what's it look like?
It doesn't look like a cute robot. Uh-huh. I mean, it's just like a little robot thingy that just kind of walks around and then takes in and brings it to you, and you take it, and then it goes away. It's kind of funny.
I just don't know about that.
That was my only experience. I just thought it was a little weird, but
it just kind of flies in the face of why I love cooking and eating so much.
I know.
And even the wait staff.
Yeah,
you know, it's nice to interact with them.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah. Nothing better than when you go out to eat and you get a server who is just on, like, on the same wavelength.
Who does it because they love doing it.
You know? Yeah. And you never know what kind of conversation will be sparked by something that they say, and that interaction.
Makes me think of Jesse. Here's to Jesse, who used to work at the Red Bike, who passed away.
Oh,
gosh. I know.
We salute you, Jesse. You were one of those.
Indeed.
Yeah, he was one of those. Yep. He really was.
Yeah.
I always had a hard time. I haven't been to one in a long time, but I had a hard time with the sushi train things.
Oh, I love that.
I love that.
When you see,
you can still see the chef at least.
Well, kind of. I don't know. I just didn't like it. And it felt like I wanted to look at it, but it just speeded past me.
Conveyor
you gotta
belts.
Be quick.
Yeah. Conveyor belt sushi. So it's been a long evolution of cooking in the kitchen. And the one thing in common, I think, is that it always includes people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the robot thing for me is a little hard to
grasp.
But I know the special I watched about Japan, it's really happening. They've got them in the kitchen. They've got robots in the kitchen.
I have not heard this. I'm going to look into this when I get home.
Robots
That's
in the
crazy.
Kitchen.
I've read this. I heard from one of the famous, was it Anthony Bourdain who said this? And I can't remember exactly, but somebody said that when you can make the exact same food, but somebody's food will taste different, especially if they're using their hands without gloves and stuff, because of what we have in our pH things in our hands, it adds flavor. So like, you know, when we say all the nanas and then our grandmas, I like, oh, it tastes different because we always say, oh, it's the love.
But that's true.
There's actually a truth about that.
Wow.
It's so true.
There is a truth about that. It's because of what we have in our hands and then how much it makes food taste different.
I will never cook for anyone if I'm angry. If I'm not in a good mood, I will not cook. And you all probably either read the book or saw the movie, like Water for Chocolate.
Yeah, that's true.
That is one of my favorites. But it is so true.
I agree. Sometimes when Lich will, like, on a Sunday morning, it was like, oh, can you make that menemen? Because he thinks that I make it really well. And I said, but if I am not in a mood, and I'm like, no, don't make me. No,
that's really funny.
And then sometimes it's like, oh,
come
on.
Behind that.
Yeah, and then he goes like, come on. I'm like, okay, fine, I'll make it. And then I was like, oh, it's not like your other ones. Uh-huh. I'm like, because I told you.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
I didn't want to make it.
Wow. That's fascinating.
So it's his fault.
It's his fault.
He needs to pay better attention next right? time.
Yeah.
Maybe but not his yeah. fault that it doesn't taste the way he wants it, but his fault for making you do it.
Yes, exactly.
Well, he tried requesting it. Yeah. He tried a couple of times. He can't make it like I do.
Oh.
Which is a truth. I don't know what it is, and I've told him, and I don't have any secrets. When I cook, I don't have secrets. Mm-hmm. I just share, this is how I make it. Because mm-hmm. if people love my food, I want to make sure that you can make it, and then you can think of me when you make it.
That's right.
It makes me happy. Mm-hmm. So I tell him exactly how I make it. He watches me, and he still can't make it exactly the same. So he always says, oh, well, you know, I can't make it like you do. I'm like, well, thank you.
You know, that's really true.
It's true.
It's really true. We have signature dishes or signature. Yeah. Our signature is in the food that we cook. It really is.
Yeah.
You put your heart and soul in. I've cooked a few meals when I've been crabby. And they're never very good. And that's sort of like that obligatory midweek meal when the kids are screaming and you've got a soccer game here or whatever you got to do. And slap-up supper. Mm. You know, just throw something together and eat it. And it's fine.
Love it.
It's nutritious and it's fine.
Fine.
Time to pull the fish sticks out of the freezer.
Well, my friends, this has been a wonderful chat. Thank you.
Oh, are we done already?
We are.
Oh, goodness.
What a marvelous afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda, so much.
Well, and thank
Celine,
you.
So
thank
wonderful you. To meet you.
Same.
And so wonderful nice to see you again.
Woohoo. Sabrina.
Yeah, it's kind of been old school week here.
It's been fun.
People who knew people who knew people's husbands who, you know, didn't know that person.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very good. So all to our listeners, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you in a couple of weeks. And get in your kitchen. Start some cooking. Thank
Have
you.
A joyful week.
And we will talk soon. Okay.
Bon appetit.
Bye-bye.
We're done.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't believe that. You forgot.